is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. I am Catherine Chisnell Mitchell, back with you after a long summer break. It's the first day of school for many. I just dropped off my second grader and fourth grader to my Queen's College Comets generationally. And I know a lot of parents are in celebration, but there's nerves too. There's that little bit of queasy excitement, or will my child thrive and survive this year? And we have the perfect guest to mentor us through those feelings, through the next steps of our lives as parents or as a community. You know that I've said this almost every show I've been on, but the true revelation of a society's soul is the manner in which we treat our children. The ladies that are with us today make me feel wealthy just as I am couched in their wisdom, their knowledge, their caring, their decades of experience, and the fact that despite working and toiling for as long as they have, they still have unmatched enthusiasm when it comes to the fields of education, childcare, and seeing to the future of our nation. I have in studio with me today Ms. Sylvia Beneby. Mrs. Sylvia Beneby, recently retired, so she says, from decades of service in the Queen's College family. She was on this show in the not too distant past where we talked about her career, her accomplishments, her lessons learned from the past, her visions for the future, and now she's doing a really terrible job at retiring by not stopping her work. I recently saw her post on social media that this was a quiet stage in her life, but she might be sitting with wisdom, but she's not sitting still. She's continuing to serve. She's continuing to find her place in the Bahamian community to nation build and to legacy leave. And with her today, we have another lady of repute, of deep learning, of much experience, Miss Agatha Archer, who I'm going to allow to introduce herself a little bit because this is the first time I've been blessed with the meeting, but I have heard her name. So they're here today in the capacity of serving on the Preschool and Daycare Center Council. We'll be talking a little bit on how to find the right school for your children, how to matchmake that experience, how to set you and your family up to thrive and survive through the schooling years. She has her beautiful son, Dominic, taking pictures of us. Get my good angles, Dominic, now. He is an aspiring photographer. If anyone's looking for interns, Guardian Radio, Guardian News, if you need interns in your fields, we have someone here today with all of the clicks in the background. But Ms. Agatha Archer, would you mind introducing yourself to our audience a little bit? I know my mother will be saying, slow down, Catherine, so I'm slowing down. And tell us a little bit about your career path.
Certainly will. Good morning to everyone.
Let's go. Pull the mic right up to you. We want to hear it all. Just pull the microphone closer. Wonderful.
Right. Good. Good morning to all. I am Agatha Archer, a former Assistant Director of Education, responsible for all daycare and preschool centers in the Bahamas, and now retired and in the position of being the chairperson of the Ministry of Education's Preschool and Daycare Center Council.
Wonderful. Thank you for deciding to do this with your what would have been your retirement also. Yes. I have to love all these people I bump into that says, no, it's over for me, but they can't let the grips of service release them. So I know as a mom, again, we went through that this is the first day, the first week of school for many, and we're taking our precious babies from what we hope is a shelter, what we hope is a place of nurture, of joy, of creativity, of comfort, and sending them off. And we hope they'll be received and embraced as such. I take it that this is something that the Preschool and Daycare Center Council help with. They help with ensuring that these institutions exist and that you can find the right one for your child. Would you mind telling me a little bit about how this was formed and what the mission statement is for this council?
Okay. This the council really has a long length of history, but I will try my best to give you it in a short space of time. So ever since the early 70s, we would have found that preschools were, there was a proliferation of preschools in the Bahamas. And the government of the Bahamas decided to establish a desk, I call it a desk, at the Ministry of Education, because there were, at that time, no regulations, nor was the act passed. And so there were senior officers in the Ministry of Education who went around, gave information to parents and teachers. I wouldn't say teachers per se, because those persons who were actually a part of this proliferation did not have the background and training, mm-hmm. no education for early childhood education, that is. And so the senior officers were more or less guiding them as to how to offer at least minimum standards to these children and to their daycare centers and those who entered the daycare centers. Then through these senior officers, the ministry in about 1992, I'm skipping a lot, right?
It's okay. So I'm just trying to
get to the point.
I'm a Bahamian historian. And at the moment we're at the dawning of independence.
It is just too much to give in an hour's time.
But at the dawning of independence, the nation saw the need that education would be the key to our future, recognized it, established the desk, and also recognized that a lot of early education or daycare maybe didn't have the correct training at that time. Right. So put safeguards in.
So me too. The government itself, I can't say the real reason at that time, but I believe it might have been just a guide so that those persons who were out there who were not trained could have one of their schools as a model school. So the establishment of the first government school was in 1989. And then that was in Nassau, in New Providence, in the Coconut Grove constituency. And then in 1992, there was a school established. We were spreading out then in Grand Bahama, West End Grand Bahama. And from there, the establishment grew. 1993, there was the first school attached. We call that attached schools to the primary schools in the Thelma Gibson area, Elizabeth and States area. And they grew, and they are now to about 60 plus, the government. So this proliferation continued, and in 1994, the government saw fit to again require, or I would say request, a national task force, a national task force for education, which was chaired by the late Keva Bethel. And out of that came the need for, I also was on that committee, and what happened in that was there was a need to address the situation school centers where there were untrained persons, people were keeping them in their homes, and no curriculum, no physical environment, proper enough for
a babysitting service,
yes,
more than
more or less the
beginning of
service.
Laying the groundwork of educational
Absolutely.
Situations. And so it was a safeguard for the physical protection of the children, also to make sure that they were safely being kept and that the foundation was being put in place.
Right. So with that in mind, a committee was formed to draft legislation towards daycare and preschool centers, for which it took quite a long time. This was like 1997 through 2004. It went to Parliament. It was some people thought it was draconian, the information and or the rules and regulations. And it was in 2004 that the Act was passed in Parliament. Mm-hmm. And then in 2015, we are very young. In 2015, the national standards were also passed in Parliament. And from the passing of the national standards, which is also referred to as the regulations, we then approach the establishment of the council. And the council, though we were in the establishment stage, getting to know what it's all about,
right,
we really did not become active until around 2017. And as you would know from legal, the legal aspects, the council is responsible for the regulations mm-hmm. of all daycare and preschool centers in the Bahamas. And that means that it has a lot of work to do. We are very young, and there are still some growing pains, but we are doing to have schools honor those standards and also, you know, comply.
I feel encouraged that someone like you is at the helm of such a project. It does feel overwhelming, especially when you drive around Nassau and you see a daycare where it seems on every corner. And I believe daycare is, I mean, you're safeguarding our future, not just as far as their educational groundwork goes, but when we look back at the recent COVID pandemic, the literal health and lives of the children depended on schools following guidelines and listening
Absolutely.
To what was said as far as health regulations go and making sure the even now, where are the immunizations in place? Are these children being taken care of? If a child doesn't come from a healthy situation, the first time you'll probably see it is in daycare with, you know, the bruises or things like that. I just came off of a domestic violence unit workshop on Saturday. I'm with the Ramfley Homes for Children. And we always say that if you could catch them in the early stages, that's where they have the biggest chance to have a healthier life afterwards. So that is really in the arms of a daycare. So you're truly responsible for the lives, the health, the well-being of our nation, and just not their literacy rates, even though we do have the highest literacy rates in this area of the world, everyone. But, I mean, it's truly a humongous and intimidating task to take over.
And I must say, you mentioned the COVID situation. Mm-hmm. COVID situation. The council worked like 24 hours during the crisis period of the COVID situation. And luckily for us, the national standards were in place and all the measurements, all the protocols were engraved in those standards, and we did not have much of
to panic.
It was already there. And so some persons wanted to have children go in without having the correct protocols, but, you know, we worked around the clock to see that that was taken care of.
As a parent of a couple that came out of my body, I always say I have lots of children that didn't come out of my body, but I know how hard it must have been just to keep those two on track educationally and make sure they masked up and sanitized. Mm-hmm. So, again, thank you for your service during those times. I know we have another big resource in our room, and I want to come towards my mother, Benaby, soon. But I want to ask you, there's some great questions I've been sent, but I want to ask you, if somebody was looking to start a school, if they said, you know, my church community would like to host it, our area could use another daycare, there's another, you know, there's a Montessori school we'd like to start, how is that something that falls under your council's regulations? How would they begin to even, you know, toe at that process?
Definitely that comes directly under our preschool council management. There's a process, and I'm glad that is a very important question because many persons open up daycare centers without having any guidelines. And they strive on rumors. How was that done? Or how was the other thing done? And they go and do, you know, establish a center overnight without having any guidelines, as I said. So we have whereby if one wants to open or establish a daycare and preschool center, they must, and it's no gripes about that, must come to the preschool and daycare center council for guidelines. That's the first step. Now, I'm not going into all the details, but in giving those guidelines, there is just about everything that one would need to know to establish. And because I am doing this program with you and I know others are hearing me, the first thing we ask persons to do is to seek the advice of physical planning. That person would be able to tell you whether you are in the right zone,
if the bathrooms, if you have the right windows,
the physical environment is in place, whatever, because we cannot do anything unless that is established. So there are rules and regulations that we, guidelines that we give them that they must adhere to. Sometimes it's not adhered to right away because when they come and they find all of these things, like you must have a trained teacher in your center, all teachers must be trained, you must have CPR, you must have a police record, you must be trained in a management director's course for preschool, lots of things. And so they get overwhelmed. Those who are, seeking good standards to get established, but they must adhere to those rules and regulations.
But you're responsible for lives. And the reasons that every standard or regulation is there is because this could save a life. There's a reason there can't be windows on the second floor, or whatever the regulations are.
Absolutely.
It's to sustain lives and to hopefully, after you meet that first hierarchy of needs, where physically it's safe, practically it's in the right zone, you have all of the things in place, then they can start to approach the intangibles. Like, is this a place of creativity, joy, sparking, warmth, embrace, you know, connected with the community in a way that will have them flourish when they go on to the next stages of life. And so I really appreciate that that's something there. We actually just got a text, and I've been delinquent in sharing our telephone lines. You can reach out to this team at 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, or of course you can text Guardian Radio anytime at 422-4796. Please, if you have any questions in this area, this is a library of wisdom sitting here today. You have a text that says, great show as usual. You could write to physical planning for rezoning for single family or multi. So there's ways to work with physical planning if you want to think about adding a school into your community. I have a cousin who has been working on getting a school going in our church community. And so I, as a mother, wouldn't want less to be in place.
Of course.
I wouldn't want to, again, if you're sending your baby off, you want to know that they are somewhere that is physically and emotionally safe for them.
And I must say, strategically planned. A member from Physical Plan, who's responsible for the preschool and daycare centers, that person is on our council as a member. So we have that relationship going.
It's a powerhouse of a council,
yes.
Everyone. I always feel whenever we drive through traffic and rain, you can come up with complaining, and then you meet some magnificent Bahamians. You're like, ah, there we are. There's our shining light as a nation. I just want to draw my school mother, Mrs. Benneby, into the conversation, because a lot of us have already made the choice in where our kids are at school this year, but some of us have young children and are looking towards good matches or thinking, okay, after they segue out of daycare, what might be the best primary choice? Where do we begin with this journey of finding the right match for your child?
Good morning, Bahamas. Good morning, Catherine. First of all, I want to say that having been given the privilege to serve on the council for the past 2 years, my eyes have truly been opened. I have a great appreciation for what happens before a child starts first grade, and it is important. I cannot emphasize enough Mrs. Archer's point in that any school a parent is choosing for their child must be certified by the preschool council, because the council will address all issues that are possible to come up during the day in the life of a child, be it the building, be it even as simple as dropping your child off in a safe and conducive environment. The council has oversight of all of that. And so for parents, like you talk about, is your precious cargo, you have to be very mindful. Once becoming aware and joining the council, my eyes wasn't as targeted towards, Ms. Archer gets old. Everywhere I go, I'm like, you keep your eye on the road, because they are popping up everywhere. And I'm like, is this place regulated? Is this, does, do the, are the people there? The first thing is you need to look at the building. Is it safe? When you use your senses when you enter the environment and use all of your senses, use the sight. How does this place look? How does it feel? How does it smell? All of those things are extremely important. Don't get into educational stuff yet, mm-hmm. because you are dropping, like you say, the nation's
future. Are they physically going to make it through the day?
Yeah. Exactly. Safely make it through the day. And if you are not trained mm-hmm. and aware of the regulations and standards, it may not be your intention to cause harm, you know, but ignorance can mm-hmm. cause serious detriment to a child. And the council is there to ensure that not only the children are safe, but the operators are safe.
On that, I think we're going to a quick break. And so we're going to continue this part of the conversation when we come back. But just give us a minute and welcome back to Guardian Radio AM shortly.
Wait, why you look so mashed up, like clothes at the washer?
No, boy, just a hard day. What?
Hard day? What happened? The breakfast lady ran out of tuna and Gretzky.
We need to start joking about everything, you know. This serious, boy. This real serious, boy.
Wait, what's serious? Tell me.
All right, well, today, boss gave his boy one big, big contract. And nobody else get a chance and nobody say nothing.
Boy, you know that ain't right. You know government contracts ain't supposed to go that way.
Yeah, but nobody saying nothing. Boss man just tell people to sign the papers. Then he sent me to meet his boy downtown and collect this envelope.
You need to tell somebody. You need to become a whistleblower.
You know he's a real man, but I never blow no whistle. I be drunk all my life in Junkano.
No way. A whistleblower is someone who tells people what they see when they see something wrong happening at work.
But I ain't no whistleblower, and I ain't no snitch. I still wait there, you know.
But ain't nobody gonna know it's you. All you gotta do is call Crime Stoppers, or you could text them from inside the Crock Crime Bahamas app. They don't ask about you, and your call goes straight through to Miami, so nobody know who you is. And if you text, your message get mixed up like Kong Salad.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Ready to save? You can put $100 into the CFAL Savings Express plan and make sure your money keeps growing. Earn interest on your savings while you're sleeping, eating, or standing in line at the bank. Ready to invest? Start by putting $1,000 into our mutual funds and earn interest there too. Because at CFAL, your interest is our interest. Visit CFAL.com to start now. CFAL, growing wealth for future generations of Bahamians.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, quality.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio AM. Thanks to our producer, Chris, today for taking care of us on the show. And shout out to Amanda Wells holding the fort down at QC. Thank you for tuning in. I am so happy to be back in studio today with Mrs. Sylvia Benneby and Miss Agatha Archer, who are representing, among so many other crowns they wear, the Preschool and Daycare Center Council. They are part of the team that safeguards and regulates the care of our young people throughout the country and make sure that the places they're starting, the foundation of their education and their social and community lives is rewarding, enriching, and something that adds value to their life. We had just cut off from Mrs. Benneby when we went to break, and she was telling us what if you're a parent looking for a school, what do you need to look for? Now, I just want to do a little preamble in that when I was prepping for the show, as I always prep because I was a good student, I was listening to all these talks, these TED Talks, reading these articles about the world, and said, in order to pick this school for your child, you have to, you know, do you want it to be bilingual? Do you want it to have this, like, dance? Do you want to have this or that? And I said, that's great, but that doesn't apply to us in the Bahamas. I think here we do have things we as parents consider. First, fiscally, first and foremost, what can you afford? Proximity, what can you get to and from on a daily basis? Academically, what the record is, as far as extracurricular protocol efforts go. Like, do you want a future Olympian? Do they have the right sports for that? But I really think what matters to us a lot as a country, when I was asking parents prepping for the show, they said, what is the school's moral grounding? What do they believe in ethically? Do a lot of people insisted their children go to schools that engaged in prayer or service in some way. I know that was important to me and my family as one of them. We failed on proximity because I drive from Adelaide to QC every day. But I thought that the rest of the pro list outweighed the con list. And these were the choices that we made when we picked a school for our kids. But some parents would say, that's wonderful. However, we can't afford some of these options. So how do we make sure that our children are engaged and enriched by their experience when they begin? Because yes, the tangibles, is there a balcony where it should be? Is it close to a road? Is it outside space? Are important. But also, you want your children to be filled with the joy of learning, to have that spark, to have the deep relationships with an educator that will allow an interest to begin and to occur. So, Mrs. Benneby, you were talking about your eyes being wide open upon your introduction to the council. And so I'd like you to talk a little further on that.
All right. Thank you again, Catherine. And so I say to parents that please ensure that you feel comfortable when you enter the environment. If the environment is not inviting to you as an adult, it won't be warm and inviting and friendly to children. And then secondly, you need to look at the staff-student ratio. Is the space available for your child? Is that big enough to accommodate the number of children that they're going to say that are in the room at any given time? If you are told that, and then there is a ratio of, depending on the age, adult per child, and then is there a teacher's aide in the room? And then most importantly, you know your child, you know they're as young as they are, you know what triggers them, you know the way that they respond and they react. And so what is the passion and the personality of the persons that are working in the daycare center? And are the members who are on staff, are they consistent? Because a child does not need to have Catherine welcome me one day, then Agatha, and then Joe. And so if there is no consistency for a little child who is not even speaking yet, but the child just needs to know that the person that they smell, they touch, is the same person that's receiving them very early, because they're not verbal yet. And then when they are verbal, consistency in that daycare speaks a lot about the daycare. And
they can grow outside of their comfort zone.
Right. And then as a parent, you need to look at the curriculum. What is the curriculum? Is it purely academic? Is it play? Is it a combination of both? And you need to know, what is it, like you alluded to it earlier, what is it I want for my child starting now? Because the grounding and the basis, research tells us the mass of education is going to happen in those first 5 years. And so in preparation, and this is where I sit from the council's perspective, as a receiver of children 5 and beyond, you have to make sure that what you do in those first 5 years will impact and give the child the edge when they enter grade 1. If their first 5 years is detrimental, disastrous, negative, it is going to impact their future learning. So all of those things you can get from your census. If you are welcome and invited to take a tour to see what's going on, gladly go and even figure that out when you go. But if it's standoffish and they don't want you to see what's going on behind the great, beautiful welcome out front center, then you know that's a warning sign. Because if your child is going to go in the back there, you as a parent should be able to explore the environment.
And I just had tears come to my eyes. I don't have to be professional. I'm just here for a day. My tears come to my eyes because grade 2 for me was one of those years that shines in golden memory. And of course, this is my second grade teacher right here. But I remember with such detail the warmth, the feeling of safety. Even when we had trouble, I had troubling times when someone would be teased or you'd have a tough day at school, I knew I was safe. And we had a teacher always called us baby or sweetie. And we knew we were her babies and her sweeties. And I will say, coming off her retirement luncheon where everyone thought they were special, we all felt special. And that, I know some children don't have that, and they don't have that connection to the heart of education. So thank you for providing that and trying to safeguard it through your council. I just do want to go over back to Ms. Archer one moment, because you had mentioned that I know you're not alone on the council. You did want to talk a little bit about the framework of the council and the members that were on. So who are these individuals that we're trusting the future of our nation to? I am sure they all have halos.
Perhaps they do. Well, the council is made up of, it can be between 10 to 13 members. We are normally around 10 members. So we should have a parent representing parents, of course. We have someone from the daycare and preschool association. And we have what is very important to us, representatives from the government agencies that are relative. And those agencies would be, as I mentioned earlier, physical planning, who will have to give us an approval for the environment. We have environmental health, who looks after the health and safety of the children. And we also have social services, which brings into consideration any abuse or I heard the social worker, an officer, who's on our council doing a very good job on, I don't know whether it was Guardian Radio or what, I didn't take note of that, of a child.
If not, let us know. We'll make sure they come on.
Of a child who just left home for mm-hmm. some reason or the other, and tracing that child. We have parents who would leave children in a center from 7 o'clock in the morning until 10 a.m.,
yeah.
where these teachers, the caregivers, must take these children in their cars and sometimes at home sleep the night there. You won't believe it. Okay? So social services is very important. Mm-hmm. And then we also have someone from public health who deals with all the issues of, you know, contagious diseases. When COVID came along, it was perfect to be under the consultation of a pediatrician that was on the council. And the other members are from the community. Normally there is a pastor who represents that side, and then one or two other educators, unlike we have Sylvia Benneby, and we also have Jillian Wilson, who are head, you know, schools from preschool straight up to middle school. Yeah. And so it's a pretty good number and variation. However, if I were to go back over regulating a council, I would make the choice of having full-time members on the council, mm-hmm. because the work of the council is left to the chairperson.
It's
24/7. People calling you at 10 o'clock in the night, 6 o'clock in the morning.
Yes.
And as I said, during the COVID situation, we actually worked 24 hours around the clock with the permanent secretary and so on. So I think we need to look at more persons. Well, initially, the council was to be a one-stop place. And those persons, like those that come from the government agencies, were to be seconded to the council. But because of lack of human resources, I think we had to just end up working with them according to their shifts and their time frame. So we do our best under this situation. Attached to the council also, we have, separate and apart from the members, we have workers that are inspectors. And these inspectors go out and do the daily inspection of the centers.
Again, a Herculean task. Mm-hmm. First of all, I just want to say you have a lovely voice for radio. Ms. Archer was trying to escape early today, and she was saying she was busy, and this doctor's appointment, and this appointment, and we kind of just bulldozed her into the hour, and we told her it would fly by. And now I'm like, more than that, I think you need to host an educational podcast or show. You can interview all of these educators, and I appreciate there's a scarcity of time with the golden council that you have commissioned is amazing. But as you say, permanent members, with most of these things, it can't be a temporary thing. Yes, you need people absolutely. Who are committed and able to do that again, mm-hmm. financially, physically, and otherwise. But you've done well with the names I've heard so far. And if I were to think tank it, those are the roles I would like to see represented. So again, as a parent, I find this comforting to know that this is the thought and structure behind what's happening. And I appreciate you bringing up the other side of the coin. I mentioned our precious cargo leaving safe nests. And we know that that is not always the truth. Sometimes they go to school for safety. Sometimes that's where their safe place is. Sometimes there's not a full meal, a hug, a safe place to be other than their childhood schools. I think we're going through to a break now. We have 2 minutes? Or that's... So we can go ahead. So we'll go back to a break. We're going through to a break right now, and we will be back to wrap up that thought. Thank you for being here with us today. I'm getting better at this, Chris. Chris is a very patient producer with us today. Thank you. See you soon.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. You can buy your local paper at Freeport Convenience Stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Now is the time to reach your Grand Bahama market with affordable packages, including print and digital. Call GB News Sales Representative Kavandre at 822-6717 or message him on WhatsApp for ad rates. Classified ads are now available every Tuesday as well. Keep up with everything Grand Bahamian every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian.
Guess what I did in school today?
Hold on, sweetie. Mommy's sending a text.
But, Mommy, my teacher said that you're not supposed to text and drive.
I know what I'm doing.
Oh, look, Mommy, the Smith twins. Mommy, watch out!
In 2017, approximately 54 people died as a result of traffic accidents. A percentage of these fatalities occurred as a result of texting while driving. Just taking your eyes off the road for 5 seconds can increase your chance of crashing. Remember, even the smallest voice counts.
Texan.
Brought to you by UB Radio and Guardian Radio 96.9.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome back to Guardian Radio AM. We were talking a little in the break again, how we left off, that sometimes teachers are lifesavers. Sometimes you have students that don't come from safe environments and need that teacher to notice the behaviors are off, notice that they need intervention from our wonderful social workers. As I touched on before, I just attended a domestic violence workshop on Saturday with all of the stakeholders of the units around. And there were teachers there that says they, you know, they sometimes feel like if they send a child home, they won't come back to school the next day. So they're really the lifesavers of our community and have so much more to do than mark our spelling tests that caused me as a parent to suffer. But I'm so happy to see these people today. I think so far our takeaways are that there's so much work to be done, so much work being done, and so much support that could still be needed, that you've mentioned growing pains, but that there's really, and if I could appeal on your behalf, really a need for a permanent staffing to be put in place so that these children can be safeguarded. Yes. And so I don't know who's in charge of that, and I won't get you all in trouble by asking, but if that could be something we put out there, that to really respect the future of our country by supporting the infrastructure that safeguards it by permanent staffing, that would be key. Also, an ongoing educational radio show or podcast led by ladies like this would be something that I would tune into with great appetite. But I want to go back to Mrs. Benneby 1 minute. Is there anything else? Like, as you said, my eyes were open. I know she sounds like a newbie and a teenager because that's her enthusiasm and heart. But it's like your eyes were open to someone who is wise to what's out there. What would you like to see going forward as you well use your retirement, even though you look like you could be going on spring break. I hope your husband's taking good care of your travel plans. As you use your retirement, what would you like to see happen with this council as you move forward?
I have to support you in being a newbie on the council, that the council needs more than Ms. Archer, and now that she has more of my time available to her to go around and help support persons who want to open or are running a daycare center or preschool, because we have found that ignorance, just not knowing that, in order to open a business, because it is a business, there are some requirements, and persons are shocked when they are told that even before you start and they go ahead and invest a lot of money in providing what they think they ought to have in a daycare center or a preschool. And if you are not regulated, really and truly, the council can't allow you to open, because then the council will be held responsible or probably liable if something happens to a child in that council, because it has now been stated that all daycare centers and preschools. So I want to put that out there to persons who want to open up a business. We're not in the business of trying to close down your business, particularly if there are people out there that are really, really passionate about the well-being of children. But that comes with a price and accountability.
And responsibility.
Right. Yeah. So follow the standards. Get there. The council has a plethora of persons there and information. It's there and available for you. There are persons out there that will help you. The council even provides training for directors and teachers. And that's it. That's another thing. Teachers need to be current. They don't have to have, depending on where you're working, a bachelor's degree or a master's degree. But they must be certified and aware of what is age appropriate. Mm-hmm. Because you could buy a pretty curriculum that the persons have never even been to the Bahamas.
Age-appropriate learning, age-appropriate environment, age-appropriate behaviors from the teacher, et cetera. So that protects everyone involved.
Yes.
Because best case scenario, you are raising your future surgeon, prime minister, mother, teacher. And worst case scenario, you're putting lives at risk.
Yes.
And also as a primary school head, as a primary school principal, you had the intake of students all the time. And I think a lot of time you were put in the position, even when I brought my son to QC, and you're like, now, Catherine, this is what he needs to have in place so that he's able to thrive. And he needs to have, you know, this is what's expected. This is what we do through our early. I'm not just doing this as a QC advertisement, but you're saying as an institute that values certain standards of education, this is what we would expect from him. And so you see when that is not in place, how it can really hold back a child forever. The pipeline of the first 3 to 5 years of parenting education, we all know, can impact a child forever. But it really is important that those few years be safe. It doesn't mean you can't recover from a shaky start, but it really makes a difference if you get a strong start off the blocks.
Absolutely.
And that's why I'm so happy. No, I won't do another plug for QC right now. But again, for all the good schools out there and for all the parents sending your children off, you want to know that they're being established and that they can thrive and survive. And it takes more than just bathing your children for the first time all summer. That was me. No. My son's like, I have to put on shoes? I'm like, yes, baby, you need to put on shoes. But also, one thing I don't know how this is regulated, and I know we're getting towards the last few minutes of the show, But when it comes to the emotional and mental health of children, when we have children that are numerously being diagnosed with anxiety disorders, with depressions, with attempted suicides, with deep griefs, I mean, that's not new, but that's something that they're handling in their school environment. We had a big loss for QC last year. Is it any way to regulate that, or is that something that just comes with the heart of the council, that you can just see whether or not there is that give there in a school? Because if you have everything structurally in place, how do you make sure that it also has those safeguards for our children?
Well, at the Ministry of Education, we have a special unit for that. And I remember when I was one of the first principals, I was the first principal of a government preschool, the one that was opened in Coconut Grove. The special unit at for special ed worked along with the preschools, and there are programs to deal with emotional disorders, you know, and all of those special needs. So we get them. We regard the children at preschool level as special children, and so that program that is offered from the was offered. We found that that helped a lot because you would have children, this is not on an emotional sense, but one that can go beyond the child's intellect. I remember there was once a child who came to school and all of a sudden his behavior just turned topsy-turvy. Mm-hmm. He was kicking, biting, screaming and all of that. And the end story of that was that it started from home, where there was a parental difference. Little Johnny wanted to stay in the room with mom. Dad died, someone else came in. And so that had a terrible impact on his life. And we have many stories, many horrid stories. And so these persons that are identified in the Ministry of Education, they are there to help us with those situations.
Because we all here are big, I think everyone in the room is a big picture thinker in that when you look at our young people, you see the future of our nation. Yes. You're saying the reason we're doing families, we're building strong citizens that will keep crime off our street, that will be the reasons that we're not gunning each other down, that will be the reasons that we do have forward thinking, that we're able to take care for our environment and each other in a way. Because in the end, when you see that little 2-3-year-old, you're seeing you're safeguarding a nation. Yes. And so I appreciate you for safeguarding our nation and with this council, in these behaviors. And again, I just have to reiterate the cry for further support for this, because yes, we know the frustrations of bureaucracy, and you say everything's a process. It took you years for it to go through Parliament. I was at 7 years of the first, and then all the way to 2017 before it was really an active council. So there was great patience there, and I think that we can all be patient and supportive as we see this council get its footing and make sure that it's not going to act in haste and risk children's lives. Mm-hmm. So thank you. I just would like to, as a parent of the nation, express appreciation for you choosing to serve in this way and not just go cruising.
Thank you.
But I hope you're also going cruising, Mrs. Benneby. When's your first holiday? Where are we going? Okay, I'll come.
Okay.
I loved it. We're still wrapping up. So if you have any final thoughts, this is the moment. What can we say in closing?
Yes, I would just like to say to the public, especially those who are interested in establishing daycare and preschool centers and those who have established, that the council is here to help. Mm-hmm. We are here to help to raise the standards of our country, and we'd like to work together. So don't look at us as monsters and we are coming to close down and shut you up and all that kind of stuff. We are here to come, to visit, to see what is in order, what is appropriate, what is inappropriate, and to guide you in the appropriate manner. And so do not be afraid of the council. The council is a help body.
And we thank you for helping us, Ms. Benneby.
I concur with what Mrs. Archer said, and that for any area of interest or development that you need, please contact the council. The council really will help you to ensure that the children that are in your environment and the teachers operate within the realm of safety and ensure that our future is bright.
And that brightness is what we're all hoping for going into the school year, that we have joyful children come home with all their new snotty noses, because we know. Absolutely. Every parent is here, like, we know the first month is going to come with something. But also
can I just say one thing? When you talk about snotty nose, consult through the Ministry of Education. Now we have an access a campaign for access to preschool. And through that, we have developed a transition program where children who are entering preschool for the first time, they come into the environment and become used to the routine and schedule of that environment. So snotty nose maybe, but not crying and, you know, all jittery and that kind of thing.
BY sanitize, little kids, wash those hands. Thank you so much for being here today. I'm wishing everyone a joyful, blessed, safe, productive school year. Ladies, thank you so much. It's been a joy to have you.
Thank you.